When things feel like they are out of control, or I don't know exactly what I should do, I wish there was an instruction manual that would just tell me. But the only thing I've managed to find over the last few months are recipes. So, like many, I've taken up cooking and baking a whole lot more this year. My most impressive achievement, which some of you have heard about because I was very impressed with myself, was making dumplings from scratch. And maybe my least impressive achievement, which I think caused the Palmers to worry about me, was roasting a cabbage and then kind of living off this cabbage for a few days. Now, the thing about recipes, as I'm sure many of you would know, because many of you are a lot more experienced than me when it comes to cooking, is that the food on your plate never quite looks like the picture in the recipe book. And I think that's okay. There's a certain improvisation that takes place, even as you try to follow the instructions. We have to improvise because we don't have the same equipment in our kitchens, or you can't find an ingredient, or you don't like the ingredient that is listed. It looks different because the way you chop the vegetables might be different to the person who wrote the recipe, or the stove might heat up really fast. There's a lot of variables. A recipe gives you an outline, a pattern, which then you adapt into your context. And I think as Christians, this is what we've been given as well. And I think the Bible is an instruction manual that will tell us exactly what to do in every situation we find ourselves in, but more like a recipe book, which will require us to improvise. The Christian ethicist named Samuel Wells writes that improvisation is something that happens right throughout the book of Acts. He says there's this constant need to find ways of staying faithful in constantly changing circumstances and environments. Our situation this year has been constantly changing, and things will continue to change. We've all had to kind of learn to embrace a certain amount of improvisation. Now, some of us might really like improvisation. We might find it really energizing, and others of us might prefer that there was an instruction manual. I want to suggest that Paul improvises. He's been given the gospel. He's been guided at times really directly by God, but he also improvises. He tries different things to fulfill the task of making the gospel known to the Gentiles. What guides him, like it should guide every Christian, is Jesus, particularly the pattern of Jesus' life. If you look at Paul's life, particularly here in Acts 19 to 20, this pattern becomes really obvious. Paul's life echoes Jesus' life. I want to work through these two chapters and point out the similarities and also the differences that we see. Jesus' public ministry, you might remember because you looked it up right at the beginning of the year, began when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, and then the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and led him out into the wilderness. Paul arrives in the city of Ephesus and discovers that the church there has only been baptized with a baptism of repentance. They don't know Jesus fully yet. They don't know the Spirit of God yet. And Paul is concerned. They're not living out of the right pattern. They need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Chapter 19, verse 4. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Paul wants to pass on a way of life, the way of Jesus to others. He wants to establish churches, communities committed to Jesus. Baptism marks the beginning of a life committed to the pattern of Jesus. This is when someone publicly signals that they are taking up this way of life. But it's not like you can just do by yourself. Holy Spirit is needed to help a person embody this pattern. We improvise out of this pattern we have been given. We improvise with the help of the Spirit of God. Paul does this, and now the Ephesian church is learning how to do this too. After Jesus was baptized, you might remember what happened next. He started preaching about the kingdom of God all around Galilee. And similarly, we see Paul doing something like that, but now around the Mediterranean. He's arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But it looks a little different to how Jesus taught. Paul enters local synagogues, but he also enters and speaks in lecture halls that the Greeks use. This term, we've been hearing stories in our church gatherings of people in our community trying to speak about Jesus in a lot of different ways. There's people improvising, having a go, seeing what works. Jesus also was known for the way that he performed miracles, the way that he healed people. And likewise, Paul, in the name of Jesus, performs miracles and healings, but again, it looks a little different. Here we read about how handkerchiefs and aprons that touch Paul cure people. Jesus drove out evil spirits, and so does Paul in the name of Jesus. One of my favourite cooks at the moment is Julia Bastel Nishamira. She always shares stories about where her recipes come from. She says, being part of a migrant community in Australia, recipes are really important. They are a way of, and this is a quote from her, preserving memories and maintaining a connection to Malta. The food my mum would cook and the stories she would tell me about the way her mum used to cook still follow me around and influence the way I think about food. The book of Acts preserves memories of Jesus in the early church so that these stories would shape us, shape the way we think about God, shape the way we live our lives. You've got to know them inside and out, live out of them. This is how improvisation actually works. Kind of paradoxically, the best improvisation comes from the habits we've been formed in. It comes from practice. And cooking is an example of this. Before you can really improvise in cooking, you need to learn the basics. And you do that by watching others, by working on simple recipes, hearing the stories, practicing so you know what ingredients work well together. And as you master these skills, out of that comes the ability to improvise and experiment. Well, in a similar way, this is true for what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You need to know the scriptures. You need to know the life of Jesus. And we look to Christians who've been following Jesus for longer than we have, and we see how they are doing it. We work alongside other Christians. We do stuff together. We pray. We have a connection with God, and we practice for ourselves the type of things that God calls us to. We are living in a very different time and place to both Jesus and Paul. And we are invited to find ways to live out of the gospel we have been given. So what might it look like for us to embody this pattern that we see? Speaking good news, bringing healing, driving out evil. What does that look like for us now? In Acts 19, there are some who try to do this without knowing the stories of Jesus. They're not part of the church community. There's nobody they can follow and learn from. They just want to use the name of Jesus because they want the power of God. They want to like drive out all the evil spirits, but it doesn't work. They've only partially got it. Acts 19, verse 15. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. What these people who are trying to cast out evil spirits in the name of Jesus don't realize, it's not all about power and glory. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And it's also about embodying a pattern that has suffering kind of mixed in it. Suffering is part of the way of Jesus. We don't like to hear that. We want to be spared suffering, right? But remember Jesus. Jesus is life. You see people love Jesus and other people hate him. He was quite a divisive figure. And the same pattern continues with Paul. Many Jews and Greeks in Ephesus start to turn to Jesus. They start to change the pattern in their lives, putting aside idols and sorcery. And then there is this backlash. A massive riot breaks out in Ephesus, started by a silversmith who is losing business. Nobody is buying his idols anymore. And so he gathers a crowd and they shout through the city, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." The crowd is eventually calmed down. Just like the crowds did not overwhelm Jesus straight away. And this type of backlash has been common throughout all the places Paul has visited, but there is a little bit of a shift here, a signal that things are starting to get harder. Remember the story of Jesus. Remember there came a point when he started deliberately heading towards Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him there. In Acts 19, we read Paul has made the decision to return to Jerusalem. Now, knowing what happens to Jesus in Jerusalem means we should have some alarm bells going off in our heads for Paul and what awaits him when he gets in that city. Paul wants to arrive in Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, which is kind of how the book of Acts begins. But as he's going, he makes sure to say goodbye to people and churches because he doesn't think he'll see them ever again. Jesus, as he headed towards Jerusalem for that final time, started to do really amazing miracles like raising people from the dead. And likewise, Paul, on his way to Jerusalem, is still teaching people. In fact, there's kind of an amusing story when he's teaching people on and on late into the night, and a young man who's sitting by the window falls asleep and accidentally falls out of the building and then dies. And we read this, Acts 20 verse 10, Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Paul brings him back to life, just like Jesus. Death and resurrection are part of the Christian pattern. In the last few weeks before his death, Jesus prepared his closest disciples by sharing Passover together. They had extra time to learn from him. He warned them that hard times are coming, but God would be with them. And Paul likewise does the same, though not exactly the same. He gathers the elders from the church in Ephesus and gives them his last words. He says, "You've seen how I've lived. You've seen how I've served you with humility and with tears. You have listened to my teaching over these last 3 years. You've heard me call all people, Jews and Greeks, to turn to God and have faith in Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit is compelling me towards Jerusalem. I don't know exactly what will happen there, but I know it will be hard. But all I want," Acts 20 verse 24, "is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Paul's life, while it echoes Jesus' life, is not Jesus' life. Paul is not the Savior. Instead, he has given his life to pointing people towards Jesus. The power and miracles we see Paul do comes from Jesus. And now it's time for the next generation. The next generation is being given this responsibility to carry on this work. The elders of Ephesus have not seen Jesus directly, like Paul and the other apostles have. But still, they are called to follow Jesus. Paul says, "Watch over yourselves. Watch over the church in your care. The Spirit of God has called you into this role for this time. Hold on to the truth. Don't let anyone give you a different pattern than what I have given you. Improvise out of this." Paul knows that their lives will not duplicate his life. They will have their own challenges. But at the same time, they're still following Jesus. Paul commits them to God and the word of his grace. This is how they'll be built up. Then they kneel down together, crying and praying for one another, hugging and kissing as they say goodbye. The gospel has been passed on to them, just like it's been passed on to us. It would have been a little daunting to see Paul go, to realize they would never see him again. Things might have felt a little out of control for this church. They cannot just automatically turn to Paul anymore with all their questions. They'd have to figure it out for themselves. At times, they'd have to improvise. But Paul had given them the most important thing, the gospel. They know Jesus. They know the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is with them. They've seen Paul's life. They've learnt from him. They know the way of Jesus and can live it out in their context, just like we are called to do right now. Don't fear this time, but ask the Spirit of God to show you how to follow Jesus and be prepared to have a go. Improvise, experiment. We will need to improvise. We will need to try new things as a church, and we need to try new things as individuals. So let's break up into groups now and spend some time praying that God would be with us and leading us in all this.